Hey, I'm Steven. I'm an alcoholic. I was kind of worried about these stairs. I thought I was probably going to trip on them and you guys were going to laugh at me, but luckily I didn't. I got sober November 12th, 2010. And I've been sober since, thank God. And, it's been an interesting journey for me. I don't know how I'm going to just talk for 15 minutes. If you guys have talked to me for any length of time, that's not enough. I'll try to kind of consolidate everything here for you guys as best I can. I'm not from Tampa originally. I'm from Philadelphia originally, but I did all my growing up in Tampa and went to middle school and high school in Tampa. So I got to do all of my exciting, fun stuff down here in Tampa. Basically, like, I come from a pretty normal home. Nothing crazy ever happened except for that I'm Jewish. So, my parents were able to send me to a little Jewish private school, which was cool. So, got to be around my own kind, or so I thought. The thing is that I was like a little fat kid, so I always felt different, and I wanted you to know that I was different. And like when I went to, and one of the things I did, I remember in like fourth and fifth grade, I wore one of those little Jewish hats, right, the kippahs, and like, just because I wanted everybody to know that I was different. And all I wanted to do, though, was, like, fit in. And it didn't really work out so well doing that, but I definitely wanted you to accept me. And that was the thing. Like, from the very beginning, that's one of the biggest things that I can recall is just wanting people to accept me. So, like, I would play sports and I would do extracurriculars and then I would do really good at school. So it was just weird. It didn't work out so well. I mean, like, my first drink, I did a lot of whatever I can get my hands on, but my first drink was probably, I mean, just because of, like, the faith and tradition that I grew up in, was probably when I was 3, when I got my hair cut for the first time. It's just part of the gig. It's not really that big a deal to everybody else. I remember the first time that I was really excited about it was like with some of my friends that I had when I was like 10 and 11 and 12. We would go around every Friday night when there was like a big dinner and everything, and we would go finish all the little wine cups that were on the tables. And I mean, there's like 100, 150 people that are having this dinner, and we would just do that every Friday night. And it was so exciting, and I'd catch like a little buzz, and it was cool. And the whole week, like, I know for a fact, I would just be thinking and thinking and thinking, like, all right, I can't wait till Friday night. And then once I was like 11 or 12 or somewhere right around that age, but before I got bar mitzvahed, once I got to that point, like, I was allowed to go into the rabbi's office and have a shot, and I was so excited about that too. That guy's one of us now too, by the way. It just so happens, but that was the key thing. And like, I'm an only child, so to be able to be accepted in with like all the grown-ups and them wanting me to come in was the coolest feeling ever. And I really just, that's what I liked. It was awesome, and it was scotch too, so I always liked the burn when it went down. So right away I'm like, all right, I'm gonna just drink straight liquor as much as I can, which when I'm 12 wasn't a lot, but I definitely did. And I would always ask, like, can I have another one? That was something I learned really early on, is can I have another one? That really didn't do me very well later on, but I still did it. The whole thing, though, like, it just kind of continued like that until somewhere in high school. Probably like a lot of you, my memory's pretty blurry too, but I remember, you know, playing sports, especially baseball. The guys like to go out on the weekends and throw kegs down and party, and I was definitely part of that. It was a lot of fun, and I got to finally like start to fit in with people, and it was really exciting, and this and that and the other, and it was just, I don't even remember half the stuff. I learned pretty early on too, like the first time I got just extremely ridiculously off my butt drunk, wasted, like I blacked out the first time that I actually got really drunk. And I was 16, and I was up in Jacksonville. My parents were on vacation in Orlando, and we just raided this person's parents' liquor cabinet. And yes, they were Jewish, and yes, the parents were doctors. I know it's ironic, but it was so much fun. They had anything you could possibly imagine, full bottles of everything everywhere. It was so much fun, except for like an hour later when I'd already consumed a full bottle's worth of alcohol and didn't know any better, so that's what I was trying to do. The last thing I remember, though, is, you know, telling everybody I was with was make sure that when I pass out, I do so on my stomach so I don't die on my puke, because I knew that was coming next. And I had a 3-day hangover from that, and my parents drove up from Orlando to finish their vacation, taking me home. So, you know, there was some family consequences right off the beginning, and it was they weren't happy, but I didn't really care. I mean, I was excited. I was fitting in with the people that I thought I wanted to, and like that's all that mattered to me. And like it was just like that from then on. And you know, I wasn't a daily drinker in high school, that's for sure. But I was definitely one of those things you would call a weekend warrior, and that was it. And there's tons of drugs in my story too. And that was another way that I fit in with other people, but the drinking was always there, you know, and, you know, I kind of just did that throughout the rest of high school from like 16 to 18, did that every weekend. And that's what everybody else was doing. So I didn't think much differently of it. But then like after people started going home, I would like go over to someone's house and raid a liquor cabinet with a solo cup and drive home with that and then drink that at home real quickly. Like that's not everybody else did that, so I don't know, it was a little bit different for me. But while I was with people, I was just doing what they were doing. And you know, I got in little bits in trouble here and there, but nothing that was really of any consequence, so I didn't think it was really much different than other people. And I was mad because my parents would be like, "Yo, you have to be home by this certain time, or else this is going to happen." And I'm a little sissy, so when you tell me that something else is going to happen as a consequence, I'm probably going to not try to do that maybe once, and then I have that consequence, and I'm like, all right, I didn't like that. I didn't get to do what I want the next day, so. Well, I got an opportunity to go play ball on the east coast of Florida, and, you know, my life was like just kind of randomly up in the air. Didn't really know what was going on. 2 weeks before I went to college, I had to have my knee operated on. And so like I couldn't like straighten my leg out for 6 or 8 months, something like that. And I'm lazy too, so I didn't want to do anything to rehab my knee. And I probably could have and should have, but instead I just like hung out and got drunk in my dorm room like everybody else, but still it was one of those a little bit further than everybody else. So I remember while I'm still not able to straighten my knee out all the way, I'm still using crutches to get around. It was in 2004 when like all the hurricanes came by, like the Charlie and Ivan and Gene and all that stuff. Francis, I think, was one of them too, and just destroyed the East Coast. I got to come home for 2 weeks, and I spent that time. I brought a friend of mine home from Kentucky who went to school there with me, and we just spent 2 weeks in a crack house, literally. It was awesome. We were just drinking beer the whole time, and while these other people were doing some weird stuff. So we only joined in a little bit on the weird stuff, but the beer was on a regular. It was such a blast, I thought. Like, I'm just sitting on a couch watching TV with a beer in my hand and whatever, and like I thought it was so cool and so much fun, and it just kept doing that stupid stuff all the time. Came back, got arrested, no big deal. Went back to my dorm room, chugged the bottle of vodka, it was cool, whatever. Like, no, it wasn't, but I thought it was. And then it was just a continuation of that. And I lost jobs after that. I moved back to Tampa, and I lost jobs after that, and you know, lost apartments, lost a house, all from this. And I never thought it was that. I just thought it was just me being purely unlucky. So I finally had to move back in with my parents and spent 3 years there. living in my parents' house after I had moved out, doing the same thing. For 3 years, I didn't come out of my room pretty much, and they didn't like that. They had enough. They sent me to treatment, and, you know, thank God they did, and the way that they did it, too, was incredible of them to be able to just kind of like, all right, we've had enough. They drop me off at this treatment center, and they say goodbye and drive off, and, like, that's cut ties, goodbye. And like I said, I was a sissy, so, like, I wasn't going to go live on the streets, and that was my only other option. So I went to a treatment center and hated it, of course, for, like, a week and a half. Didn't hear anything, just yelled at everybody. And, you know, wasn't really literally wanting to get sober at that point in time. Just wanted to get people off my backs. And then I had, like, a pretty bad seizure and cracked my skull open. And then they were trying to, like, prescribe me medication to not have to worry about that again at the hospital. And I, for some reason, said no. And, like, that's, you know, looking back on it, and it only took me, like, 3 or 4 months to look back on it and be like, well, that's not me, because I don't say no. You put anything in front of me, I'm taking it. Whether it's drinking something or whatever, I'm taking it. And the word no came out of my mouth when they were trying to give me this stuff to not have to worry about seizures anymore. And I wasn't going to be able to go back to this treatment center. And for some reason, I felt like that was the right thing I needed to do, was to go back there. So I said no. And it was way easier to say no, like, the 7 times later in the day that they tried to get me to take this stuff too. So it's still kind of baffling that that word came out of my mouth, to be honest with you, but it did. And looking back on it, like, I can actually, knowing that how I am now that I've gone through the steps and done the 6 and 7 that kind of helped me to see who I am and what I am, you know, I can look back and then be like, that's definitely not me. There's something else bigger than me that played into that part. And it took me a little while to kind of wrap my mind around that, but it finally did. Like, that was the first opportunity that God had to play a direct role in my life, and that I was open enough for that to happen. So I went back to treatment. I finished my time there. I ended up getting a sponsor while I was in there, because they told us we had to. So I did. The first person I asked, I wasn't allowed to have him as a sponsor according to the treatment rules, so I had to ask someone else, and that someone else is still my sponsor today. And he's awesome. He helps me with so much different things when I take his advice. And I lived in a halfway house for like 9 months, got to know a lot of these guys that was in there with me. And I mean, I was worried about it, but they told me I should go live in a halfway house. My parents weren't going to put me up. I didn't have a job anymore, so I didn't really have anywhere to go work to be able to buy a place to live in or rent or whatever the case is. And the only thing my parents were willing to do was to give me enough rent money for like a month until I can get a job. And I was probably not very employable, but someone else that I was in treatment with who got out around the same time I did, who already had a job, it's like, hey, come get an interview. So I did. They hired me. I'm still working there today. That's this place on my shirt. And that's like over a year and a half ago. I mean, if you would have told me that I could have a job and hold a job, the same one, for that long, I probably wouldn't have wanted it, first of all. But, like, I wouldn't have thought it possible. And for the most part, I mean, I like my job. It's a job sometimes, but it's fun too, and I can do that. And I show up every day on time. That's weird. You know, and one of the biggest things that this program does is, like, someone called me while I was on my way over here, and I just talked to them for a while, and they're in this program, and like that, just to be able to answer the phone for people. I mean, I remember so many times, and that's another thing too, by the way, like once you get sober and you're okay with who you are, you'll answer the phone even if it's a creditor. You will. I've done it. You know, and it's weird, and then you'll pay that bill too, which is also kind of weird. Yeah, that's one thing I've learned, is that it's okay to pay bills. In fact, you're probably supposed to. Otherwise, you shouldn't have done it in the first place. So, you know, that's a really cool thing, is that I can answer the phone, and I'm kind of a dick sometimes on the phone to these people that call me, but they need it, because I needed it when I was getting fresh sober. So it's a lot of fun. I mean, you know, the thing is that I know for a fact that I would not be here today. I mean, I know a lot of these faces that are here. A lot of you guys know me. Like I said, you know, it's probably hard for me to keep this in 15 minutes, but I know a lot of the people here. I know a lot of the people at a lot of other meetings, and I also know them outside of the meetings. You know, that's a big thing for me is, like, meetings are awesome. It definitely introduced me to what this program is about, gave me an opportunity to listen to other people and their experience, strength, and hope, for me to share about my crazy stuff. And I would not be here today if there wasn't some opportunities to have fun, because I like having fun. I mean, anybody can just sit around. I know I did sit around for a long time and not do anything at all, but that's not fun. I literally did not want to wake up in the morning if I had the opportunity to. I didn't want to have to be alive. I thought it was such a hassle. And when getting sober, if I still wanted to be that way, if I still wanted to not have to wake up in the morning, if I still wanted to not be alive, like, that's not fun. Like, that's not exciting. That's horrible. And I don't feel that way anymore. Like, I get the opportunity to wake up in the morning. You know, I get the opportunity to come see your faces. But it really is a fun time, you know. And you know, a big gift of this program is sponsoring other people and seeing them, like, the light that comes on in people's eyes is incredible. It really is. It's a nice thing to see, but it's a better thing to feel, in my opinion, and it's amazing. And taking other people through the steps is awesome too, because it kind of makes you not feel so bad about some of the stuff you've done, and it also makes them not feel so bad about some of the stuff they've done, because you probably have done some stuff worse. And it all works out well, you know. And if there's one thing that I can tell you, like, you know, I've only had to pick up one white chip as of this day, you know, and there's a lot of people that have just picked up one white chip, and there's a lot of people that are considering going back out and coming back in and going back. You don't know if you're going to come back. If you do, you're lucky. But the thing is that if you only have picked up one white chip, you honestly don't have to ever pick up another one. You don't ever have to add anything to that. That's all I got.